This is Adrian from The Green Screen of Death. I just wanted to include just a brief introduction for this podcast episode. It's a bit dated. It's from Fantastic Fest 2015. Every single year, I like to interview my friends, ask them a little bit about what they enjoy each year, how many times they've been, favorite films, any events they attend, stuff like that. This one's a little bit dated. I did run into some audio issues with Virginia's interview. I had to tidy it up as best I could. Sound levels were up and down, and I believe this was the final year that Fantastic Fest used the announcement system. So we had many interruptions, but through the magic of editing, I was able to clean that up a little bit. I hope you enjoy, and look for the next one to be released very soon, because I did the same thing for 2016, and I'll finally be caught up, and then we'll look forward to 2017. This is Adrian with The Green Screen of Death, sitting here with my good buddy Brad. Say what up, Brad?
What's up, man? How are you?
good. It's we're on day three, Fantastic Fest. What are your impressions of the fest so far, and what's a movie you're going to go home and tell people about?
As of right now, it's definitely well organized, more than any of the other years, it seems, which is good because it keeps everybody happy, keeps the bitching down to a minimum. As far as flicks goes, I think it's probably, say, Victoria and Darling are two of my favorites so far.
Cool.
Definitely going to be sporting Victoria because that's a pretty ambitious flick.
So, oh yeah,
you know, one shot through the entire film, and it's over 2 hours. It's 2 hours and 30 minutes.
I think it's over 2 hours. Yeah, and it doesn't feel like it. It
doesn't seem that long at all. But yeah, that was definitely an experience. Very intense at times. Just a very charismatic, and the chemistry between all the characters was really well done. Apparently it's all improv too.
Oh really?
It's supposed to be like a 12 page script is what the director said. So I'm still kind of thinking if that's true or not, because it seems too much, you know, because the one shot thing is one thing, but then improvise and, you know, kind of have actors do their own thing for that long.
Yeah, because they had to have people on cue get into the frame, and there was a lot of timing things. It's like, how can you improvise the script? That's crazy.
Yeah.
What about Darling did you like? I think I'm going to see it later because of what you said about it.
Yeah, Darling was a lot of fun. It, you know, was definitely kind of a throwback to, I don't know, it kind of almost felt like horror noir sometimes. You know, things that came to mind was, you know, like The Shining and Psycho were two of the things. Just very, you know, jarring, very kind of also kind of mysterious. I didn't feel like it had a conclusion, which one thing I did like, but I didn't like at the same time. But I'm just kind of curious to what other people thought about it. It seems like it's getting a good response. And I really enjoyed the director's film that I saw last at South by Southwest called Pod.
Oh yeah, I didn't see that. Yeah,
Pod was a lot of fun. And also from Pod to this, completely different movies. So obviously this kid has you know, some ambition and wants to not do the same thing over and over, which a lot of filmmakers kind of get in the habit of doing. So yeah, kind of excited to see what he does next. Apparently he's already got his next movie done.
Oh really?
So, you know.
Cool. What are you looking forward to? That we still have a lot of festival to go. But yeah, what are some films you're looking forward to?
I would say The Green Room for sure. That's my most anticipated. And then one for me is I'm Seeing the Night, which is Baskin.
That looks badass.
Yeah, it's like, I've been told it's like a Reservoir Dogs with like fucking monsters and shit or demons. So I'm okay with that.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Now, one
cool
thing I always
vibe to it too, which you'll definitely like.
Oh, cool! Right on. One thing I always like to get from people is why you come to Fantastic Fest. Because movies are a given, but why else do you like coming here?
Oh, friends. Yeah. That's first.
Oh yeah.
Movies come second.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of friends here, and I just enjoy the atmosphere more than anything. Movies are good, but they come a close second with friends being first. So
Right on, dude. Well, I guess we could wrap it up, but maybe plug some of your stuff. You're here, you got your own podcast that's doing really well, and anything else you want to plug? Hook us up?
No. Just my lame-ass podcast. That's about it. That people listen to for some weird reason. I haven't figured it out yet. But.
You're a champion of your own podcast, man. I love it. Cool. Well, thanks, dude.
All right, man.
Bye.
See ya.
This is Adrian from the Green Screen of Death here with my good buddy, JC. JC, why don't you introduce yourself and tell our listeners why you love coming to Fantastic Fest.
Yeah, I'm JC DeLeon, at JC DeLeon 1 on Twitter. I mean, I'm local, so that helps. That it's easy for me to come here. But I've met so many great people just from this festival, and I look forward to seeing them come back every year. Movies were always great. It's just a great time being here at the Alamo for 8 days, seeing anywhere between 20 and like almost 40 movies. It's my favorite week of the year.
Right on. So we're on day three. What have you seen so far that you've enjoyed? You're going to go home and tell people about
Green Room. Green Room is fantastic. It's from Jeremy Solnier. Yeah. I don't know how to actually say his name, but he directed Blue Ruin a couple years ago, and that rocked the festival 2 years ago. This one is just as good. He is really good at creating tense situations, and there's very little plot. Like the story to this one is pretty much wrong place, wrong time. And how bad that can get.
Oh, cool. That's awesome, man. What else have you liked so far?
I liked February. The sort of twist ending, I think, is going to be made or broken, depending on how that affects you. But Kiernan Shipka turns in a really good performance in that one.
She is creepy as hell in that one. She, like, totally transforms. It's crazy.
Yeah.
What else are you looking forward to? Because it's still early in the fest, so... I'm sure you got some others you're looking forward to.
Yeah, I didn't get it today, but I'm hoping to see High Rise at some point. I'm excited about Follow. Follow is directed by Owen Edgerton, who's a local, good friend of mine. There's 5 more days, and there's still so much I want to see.
Oh, it's crazy, right? What do you recommend to anybody who may be coming for the first time or new to the fest? Like, any advice?
Try to find sleep when you can get it. Don't be shy about talking to anybody. Talk to as many people as you can. Meet whoever. Don't be that guy when you see a celebrity and kind of go up to them for autographs or take pictures, because they're here. They're hanging out. They like movies just as much as us. No celebrity who comes here and stays here for a little while does it because they like being a celebrity. They do it because they're a movie nerd just like us.
Oh, totally. Yeah. We better wrap it up. I think they're seating soon. So where can people find you online? You mentioned your Twitter account, but you're in a couple podcasts, right? So why don't you plug anything you want to plug and we'll check you out.
Yeah, both of the podcasts are on the website, oneofus.net. We do movie reviews as a 20, 30-minute podcast, usually 5 or 6 of us. Then there's a sports show called Inside the Locker. We actually do a thing where we broadcast live every Thursday, and we do it as a Google Hangout video that you can watch.
Oh, cool.
Or you can listen to the podcast when we post it on Friday.
Cool.
Yeah. If you're into fantasy football, you definitely want to listen to that podcast, because we do fantasy football updates and strategy and things like that.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I just got into that this year, so I'll have to check that out. All right, thanks, man.
Yeah, man.
Okay, this is Adrian with the Green Screen of Death here on day 4. My new good friend, Virginia. It's your first time at Fantastic Fest. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your first time here and what got you interested in Fantastic Fest? Like, how did this get on your radar?
As far as meeting everyone here, I came in on Thursday, the day before it actually officially started, and was kind of just sitting in the corner by myself, not really sure what to do. But there was the Facebook page, Fantastic Fest Friends, that I had posted on, and then Antonio and you came up and said hey, and kind of got me a little bit loosened up into talking to people. It was a couple, like maybe an hour or so, kept meeting more and more people, and went out to dinner with you guys. And the next day, it was a lot easier just to walk up and be like, hey, I'm Virginia, and then get to start conversations with people I'd never, thought I'd talk to. the reason I came to Fantastic Fest was I was checking out Laser Team to see if any updates, because I'm a huge Rooster Teeth fan, and they said they were going to be premiering here at Fantastic Fest.
Yeah.
I just decided to go ahead and take a look at what all was going to be going on, see if I wanted to make the 10-hour drive from Pensacola to Austin, considering my AC in my car had broken.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saw that there were a bunch of other movies that looked really, really interesting. Yeah. Decided, why not try something new instead of saying, I want to go do this, go ahead and go do
just
it.
Just do it.
Yeah. Trying to make that my new thing to get out there and go ahead and start like doing things out of my comfort zone.
That's cool.
Yeah, because you always hear people say, I wish I could do this. I regret not doing this. Like, just go do it.
Yeah.
You might not get that chance again.
Yeah, and I remember you saying that the first night, and I was like, yeah, just do it.
Yep.
So you mentioned Laser Team. Tell us what you thought of Laser Team, and are there any other films you've really enjoyed here that you want to kind of pimp out when you go home?
Yes. Laser Team was amazing. During the red carpet, Bernie and Matt, Gavin, Michael, and Alan all came and did the whole walkthrough type thing in their interviews. And Marco actually let me interview them because he said he wasn't really sure about Rooster Teeth and all their stuff. But since I was standing there just kind of taking pictures, he looked at me and asked me a bunch of questions about, like, what's this with Rooster Teeth, what's this? And since I knew so much, he went ahead and let me do the interview. So that was
cool.
It absolutely made the trip worth it even more. And whenever we went to go sit in the theater, all I could think was just, like, I can't believe I'm actually going to be seeing Laser Team early than when it's going to be released.
Yeah.
And it was... It definitely, my expectations were pretty high. I mean, I love Rooster Teeth, and they definitely exceeded my expectations. I really hope they do more movies and feature-length things. As far as other films that I've seen, Boy and the Beast was just so sweet. That one's so nice. Der Bunker is crazy.
Oh, really?
That one, I don't know what I expected.
All right, all boarding groups for Theater 5, 7, and 9. All boarding groups, 5, 7, and 9 for Evolution.
I don't know what I expected out of Der Bunker because I wasn't really sure what it was going to be, but it's definitely something I'd see again.
Oh, cool.
April in the Extraordinary World was great. Darling was crazy.
Nice.
Darling was definitely one of those, what the hell is going on?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, everything I've seen so far has been really great.
Cool. Oh yeah, we still have a lot of festival left. We're only on day 4, so we're basically at the halfway mark. Are there any other films you're looking forward to for the rest of the week?
Yeah, there was one that it's like a, I guess it's kind of a haunted horror movie type thing or a scary type movie. I don't really remember the exact description of it.
Is it The Witch?
Sensoria.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That one looked interesting. I'm hoping I get to see The Witch. My other one's Office. From what I read about it, it's like this day job. It's like a Korean film. And the guy, I guess, murders his whole family.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm curious to see what that one's about. That's my midnight movie. So
Okay.
If it's a scary midnight movie, I am all for it.
Wicked.
Yeah, but there's a lot of ones that I got that I'm not quite sure what to expect, but I'm... So far, so good.
Cool. What would be what would you say to somebody who hasn't been that you would say to convince somebody to come to Fantastic Fest?
Oh, just do it. Like it's really worth the trip, the money, everything. Because like yesterday, I got out of my one of my movies, and there's a Chinese dragon running around the lobby of the Alamo, and I'm just like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna follow this Chinese dragon to wherever it's going.
Yeah.
And it went into the highball, and there's this band, I guess it was like a 32-piece band in the highball called Itch.io.
Yeah.
That changed my life. Yeah, Itch.io was definitely something I'd never seen before, and I went in there, because I mean, it sounded good. Got in there, and they were, like, walking around with their instruments just strapped to them, and there was, like, girls in, like, black veils and everything just walking around and dancing, and it was awesome.
Cool.
So it's things like that where you don't know what you're going to get or what to expect if it's your first time. So it's so far it's been amazing. Like, I'm surprised I didn't know about it before, because this is definitely right up my alley. Sitting down and, like, watching movies all day, love it.
So cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think they're going to seat us pretty soon, so I always give everybody a chance to pimp anything you have online, whether it's your Twitter or blog or anything. Do you have anything to share with us?
My friend does have a Let's Play channel. It is Blast Time Games. Check it out. We do, like, Drunk Tetris.
Oh, nice.
And just fair warning, it's more... it is kind of vulgar. I mean, it's Drunk Tetris. There's the video games, they'll mostly play it. It's usually the guys that are doing it, but sometimes I'll come in. And I curse like a sailor, so fair warning, expect a lot of cursing if I'm in it. But yeah, it's go ahead and check it out. It's pretty good. I enjoy it. I like it.
All right, well, thanks very much, and enjoy the rest of the fest.
All right, thank you so much.
This is Adrian with the Green Screen of Death here on day 5 of Fantastic Fest. We're now in the second half of the festival. I'm here with Jenny. We're just hanging out at the coffee shop. Jenny, why don't you say hello and introduce yourself and maybe tell our listeners about a movie you've enjoyed so far.
Hi, well, I'm Jenny. I've been going to Fantastic Fest since 2008, and this is my 6th year, so I would say that I'm a regular.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so far this year, I've seen top 3 already, and I don't know if it's going to change, but it might. But I loved The Assassin, which I would consider a like modern masterpiece of Taiwanese New Wave.
Oh, cool.
Don't ask me to pronounce the director's name.
That's right.
But I know he's a pioneer of it, and it's just... What I really liked about the movie is it's really slow on plot, but I feel like it's also one of those movies that you feel more than you actually should be paying attention to the plot anyway. And the mise-en-scène in the film is almost like a Stanley Kubrick movie. It is gorgeous to watch. Like, everything in the frame is picturesque. It's like a painting. A girl told me that it plays out like a ancient scroll, which I thought was really, really fascinating.
Oh, that's cool,
Like, way of calling it, like, kind of beautiful in a very delicate way.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else have you enjoyed here so far?
I also saw Son of Saul, which is a Holocaust drama about a man who takes a dead body of a young boy and kind of like pretends, but he thinks he's his father.
Oh, really?
And so he tries to get a rabbi to get him buried properly.
Yeah.
And, it was just, it's heart-wrenching. It's like I was crying the whole time.
Yeah.
What's really interesting about it is they have the camera on the Saul character the whole entire time. Like, you're right up in his, like, business. And everything in the background is brutal and terrifying because it's a concentration camp and it's everything that would be going around there.
Oh,
but it's also not in the foreground. It's not necessarily anything you haven't seen in a film, but it also feels different and makes you feel more immersed and like intimately there, and it's very hard to watch.
Oh, yeah, I imagine.
But it was on 35mm, and it was gorgeous.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Definitely would recommend it. And what I think is really interesting is I also saw Phoenix this year, and that's another Holocaust drama that I really, really loved.
That one's fantastic.
And I feel like these are on par with, like, it's something totally new that I haven't seen before, and it's also just so happens to be very, very good and very, like, moving.
Yeah. Phoenix is amazing. And it helps that it has, like, one of the best endings of a film this year by far. Like, they just stick that landing. And I just had chills walking out of that theater. Yeah, it was so good.
Phoenix is incredible. And I feel like, Son of Saul is on that level of Phoenix.
Oh, cool.
Also, really liked High Rise.
Yeah, that's a cool movie.
Yeah.
Really cool. Hiddleston, right? Isn't he the best?
He also, like, as they say in the movie, looks better with his clothes off, which is very, very rare.
That's right.
I was like, he definitely does after this movie.
Yeah, he has a really cool suntanning scene, which, it's really nice.
it was very nice. Yeah. But it's really interesting about the movie is you either love it or you hate it. Like, you're not in the middle of that movie.
That seems to be the case. It's either in people's, like, top 5 so far, or they're just like, no, I didn't like it. I didn't vibe with it. And it's like, well, you know, that happens with movies, right? So
it's either one of those things where you're very into what it's selling you. It's kind of like someone compared it to Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
Where it's like very wacky and very bizarre, and you just have to buy what it's selling. And if yeah. you're not buying it, and if you think it's very divisive mm-hmm. from the start, then you won't be interested in it.
Yeah, totally. So what first got you interested in Fantastic Fest?
It's actually very funny. The person that got me into it doesn't go anymore because he has a kid.
Oh, no.
But I had a friend, and he was my manager, and I worked at a Cinemark in Austin.
Okay.
And I was up in Denton. I went to school at the University of North Texas, and we were messaging each other. And he was like, you know, there's this festival. And he's like, I know you were at school, but it costs like $100, and it's totally worth it.
Yeah.
And this does not cost $100 anymore.
Yeah.
But,
no, not anymore.
And I was like, oh, okay. And yeah. I went, and I think I saw about 10 or 12 movies that year. That year had a movie called Sauna. It had Let the Right One In.
Oh, cool, yeah.
So I was like floored by this festival. Oh, The Chaser was there as well.
Yeah.
And it was 2008. And I just kept coming back.
Nice.
And I was a super fan in 2010. And that was really awesome. But then I took a break because the Super Fan badge costs as much as the badges now.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So it's like, yeah. it was like $300 at the time. But yeah. I fell in love with this festival and how it's all in one place. It's just very easy, and it's all kinds of movies that I like.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so fun. So fun. So you're going to keep going, keep the tradition going, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm never going to stop.
Yeah, that's right.
Even when it costs $1,000 to go to this festival, I will drop it.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I just hope I have enough money.
Yeah. So we're in the later half of the festival. Are there any other films you're looking forward to for the rest of the festival?
Yes, there are three, and I'm seeing them all hopefully tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited to see The Green Room
yeah.
and The Witch, which I've heard are both great.
Yeah.
And then I'm also very, very, very excited to see The Martian tomorrow. I've read book, and we were chatting about that earlier.
Yeah.
You've read like 2/3 of it.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. And it's just why I'm seeing it like at 9 in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Right on. That's cool. Well, I better wrap it up, but first, before I let you go, why don't you pimp some of the stuff you're doing, because you're involved in an Asian film festival. You run a website. You've got so much going on. Why don't you tell us about where people can find you online and check out some of your stuff?
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm a very busy person. I am a programmer for the Austin Asian American Film Festival, which is going to take place over November 12th through the 15th weekend in Austin at the Marquesa. So people who are from Austin, they should be familiar with that. We have announced 3 of our films so far. We're showing Soul Searching, The Killing Fields of Dr. H. and Huang, I think that's it. It's a documentary. And then Atom Heart Mother, or Atomic Heart. It has 2 titles. It's an Iranian film, and it's very, very trippy. Very excited about the festival. You can follow the festival on Facebook and on Twitter at AAAFF. And then for myself, I am a writer for this website called GotchaMovies.com. I actually run it. I'm the editorial manager. And it's a very cool site. It's mostly local Austin-based, but it's growing. And you can find that on Twitter, online, et cetera, et cetera. But if you want to find just me, I am on Twitter at JennyLeeX33, and that's Jenny with a Y, Lee with an L-E-I-G-H.
Yeah.
It's really hard, I know. Some people have been trying to ask me to change it, but I like it.
Yeah. And I'll post links to your Twitter as well on the show notes. You're also involved in 2 podcasts, right?
I am. Oh, yes, I am. I'm involved in this one called Unspooled Reel, which specifically goes over genre film, and I do that with my writer, Ryan Oliver, who lives in Seattle. And then I also am a part of Film Geek Army, which I co-host with JJ Castillo and Mike Wiebe and sometimes Greg from the Alamo.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for your time, and I'll be seeing you around.
Yeah, of course.
This is Adrian with the Green Screen of Death here on day 6, Fantastic Fest 2015 edition. Here with my good buddy, John. How do I say your last? Sorry, Golson?
Yep.
John Golson. We've been Twitter buddies for a few years now. We met, I think, Fantastic Fest 2013. I was talking earlier about the first time we met. I was like, immediately I had to take a selfie with you, and you kind of made fun of me. You were like, hey, look, it's a real American. And I was like, yeah, so I'm Canadian. But anyway, why don't you say hi, John, and tell our listeners about a movie you've enjoyed here so far.
Oh, it's, you know, a lot of years I think there's stuff that you automatically in your mind you place as like, that's my favorite, and then everything else kind of jockeys for position, and you just sort of wait to see if something beats that movie.
Yeah.
And what's funny this year is like, I don't think I've had that. I've seen a lot of movies that are really, really good at what they are.
Yeah.
High Rise and Devil's Candy and Love and Peace and The Lobster. And so far, I actually, it's kind of strange because I'm this far into the fest and I actually don't have a favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. But wow. I've seen things that I really loved. Like, yeah. And it's unique in that way because typically I walk away with one where there's like,
oh, yeah.
No, that was my untouchable one. But this yeah. year, man, I've seen a lot that I couldn't necessarily rank over another one.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool, man. What are some, you mentioned a few of the ones, High Rise, Love and Peace. Are there any other notables that you've enjoyed here?
I don't think I said Devil's Candy, and that was really, really good. Today I'm catching Green Room and The Witch, and I've heard that I'm in for a hell of a double feature there as well.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, I'm in for both as well. How many times have you been to Fantastic Fest, and like, what got you into it?
This is my, okay, if last year was the 10th year, then that would make this the 11th year.
Yeah.
And that would mean I've been going 7 years. Fantastic Fest 3 was my first one.
Oh, cool.
I only missed the first two.
Yeah.
And what got me going to them originally was just being a genre fan and living in the area.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of watched it, like, start up, you know, and had friends that would go back in the early days, like the earliest of early days.
Oh, yeah.
And was like, oh, the programming's really interesting. And so I made plans to go the third year, had a great time. Yeah. And since then, yeah, it's just become a regular annual thing that I've gone to. You know, I think a misconception, and I think you even hear it here at the festival, is that it's all fantasy, sci-fi, and horror.
Yeah.
And in reality, I think what makes Fantastic Fest different is it's not just those, but if it's a comedy or if it's a drama or if it's an action film, they're always a little bit left of center. They're always a little bit different than what you'd expect. And so in that way, like, I actually think that the festival is a little more expansive than what people know or what people think of in their heads. Like, people that haven't been to the fest, I think they picture the fest as, oh, it's just strictly, like, wacky, foreign, and indie horror and fantasy and sci-fi. And it's like, no, I mean, you know, we've seen things that are... You know, last year, one of the best movies was Force Majeure.
Yeah, that's
like,
amazing.
Which is like kind of a dark comedy, a little bit more of a family drama, you know, and it's like nothing horror or sci-fi in there. But again, it's a little bit left of center. It's a little bit different than the norm. And I think that's really what binds these films together.
Oh, totally. I watched Pablo Larraín's newest film here a couple nights ago. It's called The Club. And it's a straight up, like, drama surrounded in tragedy. And it's got great performances, beautiful writing, and there was you could probably find some horror elements in there, but it's one of those ones that's by an auteur, and people, I know what you mean, but people kind of go, oh, you're just going to go watch scary movies and watch heads blow up. It's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
if you were offering advice to somebody who's new to the fest, what would you tell them? A couple things that...
My one piece of advice is to always throw your schedule out the window.
Yeah.
Unless you're VIP, you basically are kind of randomized as to what you see.
Yeah.
And I know every year, like, everybody has those ones where they're like, oh, you know, that's on my radar. I really want to see that. But I've found that it's way easier for me not to get fixated on my actual day-to-day schedule and kind of fly by the seat of my pants. Make time to see the movies. And if you don't necessarily get into your first choice, it doesn't matter, because the chances are you're going to see something that there's a chance you may see something you'll never even have the opportunity to see again. You know, you're going in blind to movies, I think, is somehow, in some ways, like, the best way to see it. You know, not knowing necessarily what you're getting involved with and sitting down and letting a film just transport you without any expectations on it. So that's what I always tell first-timers that sweat the fest, and they look at the schedule and the grid, and they're trying to figure out, well, if I see this day and this day, and what am I going to do on this day? And it's like, to me, just throw it out, approach each day fresh, see what you see, and I guarantee you'll walk away liking something at the end of the day.
Oh, totally. Have you had any discoveries of the festival, one that took you by surprise? You were like, wow, I really enjoyed that. I need to tell people about that.
I think the one thing that's kind of opened my eyes is in filmmakers where I've only seen one of their films. Like, for instance, in the case of Dogtooth, and now seeing The Lobster, and starting to see unifying themes, a fascination with that director's sense of humor is real specific. Yeah. And he also has a fascination with language that's evident in both Dogtooth and Lobster. I think Devil's Candy, this is Sean Byrne's second feature after The Loved Ones. And I find what Sean Byrne is really good at is taking very familiar concepts and presenting them in ways that we haven't quite seen before. You know, with Loved Ones, it's a movie about kind of a stalker that captures somebody, and it's almost like torture porn, but it's really, really fun.
Okay, yeah.
And it's not quite like what you've seen before in that genre. And the same with Devil's Candy. Like, if you hear the description of, like, oh, there's a house with a dark past and a family moves in and the dad goes crazy, you can name a dozen movies that have that plot.
Oh, yeah.
But the way it's presented and the way the characters are set up are just different enough to, like, really give it, like, a completely new coat of paint. So what I've enjoyed seeing is not necessarily individual discoveries of films, but discoveries of filmmaker voices and starting to really get a handle on, like, oh, wow, this is what this person brings to the table, where I'd only seen one of their films before, and now starting to expand that with other work and really, really getting to know some of these directors. And it's really, really exciting because it makes you hungry for whatever they do next.
Oh, totally. That's a really cool way of looking at it.
Even Charlie Kaufman with Anomalisa. You know, this is his second film, technically, because he's a second-time director.
Yeah.
I mean, he's written before, but you can start to get a feel for how he is as a director as well. I mean, I find those emerging voices to be really, really exciting.
Yeah, that's a really cool way of looking at it. I never thought of that because I always, when I talk about discovery, I think of one movie, like Lies of the Fox Fairy. I was like, wow, I was not expecting that to be that good. I just kind of signed up for it because I had nothing else I wanted to watch. I was like, oh, this looks kind of cool. But I really like the way you put that, like discovering the voices and the way they make movies and stuff and trying to and getting to know them through their films. That's really cool. I guess we better start wrapping it up pretty soon here. So I'm a big fan of your work. You're a very good writer.
Thank you.
And, of course, you make those comic reviews, which I think are amazing.
Yeah.
So why don't you talk a little bit about where people can find you online, find some of your work, and connect with you.
I'm on Twitter at Golson, G-H-O-L-S-O-N. I write for movies.com, and you can listen to me on my comic book podcast, which is called Giant Size, and it's available on ESN.FM.
Cool. All right, well, thanks very much, John. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, this is Adrian, Green Screen of Death, here on day 6, here with Jeff Bayer. Jeff, how many times have you been to Fantastic Fest, and what do you love about coming here?
So I think this is my 4th time in a row. It's my most important film festival to go to. It is the freedom. It is the closest thing to vacation that these things can have for me.
Yeah.
And it's not even just the style of movies.
Yeah.
I actually avoided this festival because my friend was telling me it might be a little too rapey for me as far as just in general.
Yeah.
But then he was like, okay, that just seemed to be like a year or two. I think you should do it. And the logistics of like one theater, like one spot, the ticketing system, everything about it is the best we could hope for out of a fun standpoint from Fantastic Fest. So that's why I love it.
Yeah, and you do some pretty hardcore festivals. You do like Sundance and South By. What's the difference between going to say Sundance or South By and coming here?
When a movie doesn't work at Sundance, you feel like you wasted your time.
Yeah.
When a movie doesn't work at Fantastic Fest, you still feel like you saw something worthy of a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
So it's that thing of like, at film festivals, you'll see a million forgettable movies.
Oh, yeah.
That's unfortunate. But you're seeing a lot of them, so you kind of like leave out those, and you're like, well, I saw 5 films and 2 were amazing. That's a really good day.
Yeah.
And here, no matter what you see, you want to discuss it with somebody else. It it breeds a camaraderie that other film festivals don't compare to.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and I did South By the first time this year, and it was a little different. You know, it's a bit more spread out, and that's no fault of the fest. It's just the nature of that beast. What have you liked here at Fantastic Fest so far, like film wise? Are there any you're going to go home and tell people about?
I mean, for me, the nice thing is with these movies, when you love them, you also think, maybe I'm just going to love them.
Yeah.
Maybe I can't tell anybody to go see Men and Chicken
because
all of my film nerd friends have already seen it, but like the ones that aren't going to know what to do with a movie like that.
Yeah.
So there's like those, but then for me, Green Room and The Lobster really just like stood out, and I can't wait because there will be people I know that I get to share those movies with.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really awesome. Good God, Green Room. I haven't seen Murder Party yet. Okay. And now I'm just like jonesing because like I've seen Blue Ruin and he totally proves himself with Green Room. I like it more than Blue Ruin.
Oh, really?
But like now it's like there's this movie sitting out there for me.
Yeah.
It's totally different from what I hear.
Yeah.
And then I'm really happy with Fantastic Fest if you can't tell.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And Murder Party's awesome. It is way different, but it's super cool because he's working on techniques and stuff like that. And he's such a technical filmmaker. But they had a lot of fun with that one. And his Jeremy Saulnier's wife is in that one as well.
For me it was like discovering Jeremy and Ben Wheatley at the same time. I was kind of curious. And now my needle's definitely pointing toward Blue Ruin, Green Mile. Yeah, Green Room. It's just, really cool stuff. And then a documentary was Man vs. Snake.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that one.
I worship King of Kong.
Yeah.
And I was just worried it's going to be redundant.
Yeah.
And it's not. It tells a new, unique story.
Yeah.
And it's totally captivating.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Now, what was I going to say? I'm going to put you on the spot here. You mentioned King of Kong, Man vs. Snake. If you had to tell somebody to watch one or the other, which one's better?
for just documentary's sake and not necessarily what's real, what's not real, and all that sort of thing, King of Kong.
Oh, yeah.
It is, because it creates... not many documentaries have amazing villains.
Yeah.
And that one does. Through the footage it has an amazing villain. Like, somebody you will later think about and think about how much you hate.
Yeah.
And for such a light subject, you normally don't get that out of a documentary. So that's the reason I would say that one. But...
Yeah.
Getting to see that one and then Man vs. Snake, it's like you feel like you're on the inside of a special little party already.
Oh, totally. And that's the cool thing is a lot of these films, we're the first ones to see it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's part of the fun.
Well, and some of these, it's like, oops, it came out on video on demand 3 months ago and I didn't even realize it. You got to see it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's moments like that. Like, oh, God, I'm going to butcher it. Oh, no. I was going to say The Voices, but I actually saw that one at Sundance, and that was amazing. But it took forever for that movie to find an audience.
Yeah.
That's
pretty cool. Now, do you ever go to the events here, like Feud and debates, stuff like that?
I've always gone to the debates, and I've always wished they were a little bit better. Like, the idea of the debate is flawless.
Yeah.
The application of it is normally not as good.
Yeah.
And like, so I have to go every year, but every year I'm like, man, it could have been better.
Yeah.
So there were some good moments with the debate this year.
Cool.
I normally do the feud. I didn't this year. Always do the closing night party because it's just...
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
you have to.
Where else can you watch people get a spur-of-the-moment tattoo?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, wait, you're really doing that forever?
Yeah.
You're like, it's free. I thought it'd be fun.
Yeah.
You're just like, how can you make that?
Yeah.
No, that's impossible.
Yeah, and last year I got a spur-of-the-moment mohawk haircut.
There you go.
It's like, that was fun.
So wait, are you announcing right here, right now, you're getting a tattoo?
I would love to get one, yeah. I tried to get one last year, but
did
I...
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But you know how it goes, the long lines and stuff. But yeah. I guess we better wrap it up. I guess I should give you an opportunity to tell people where they can find you online, because you write a lot of film reviews. You've got a podcast of your own. You guys advertise it as the only movie podcast on the internet, which I guess is true, because I don't do anything with these recordings. I just keep them on my computer. I'm the only one who listens to it, so this is my own thing.
Yeah. So Movie BS with Baron Snyder. It's Eric D. Snyder's my co-host.
Yeah.
It's a weekly podcast, and we enjoy doing it, and hopefully we get to keep doing it for a long, long time. And then I do a couple of different freelance articles, Film School Rejects and Movies.com. You can find me. And that's pretty much it right now.
Oh, cool. And you do a monthly thing with introducing films you haven't seen, right? You mentioned one of those you've done? And...
So actually, let's see. What was the one that I just did? oh, my gosh.
I'm putting you on the spot, man.
This is the problem with the film festival. You're like, wait, what did I just see? The Death Zone? Is that a movie?
yeah.
I think it is. No, The Dead Zone.
Okay.
Goodness.
Yeah.
So I had never seen The Dead Zone.
Yeah.
And Nathan Rabin had me watch it, and then it's a commentary on that. And you can, it's Remedial Film School, and you can find that on Film School Rejects. But yeah, I've even things like A Room with a View.
Yeah.
I'd never seen that movie. And it's like, to see young Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
now? That was so bizarre. So stuff like that. Yeah.
Right on. Well, cool. Thanks for your time, man. Appreciate it. And enjoy the rest of the fest.
Thank you very much.
This is Adrian from the Green Screen of Death here on day 7 of Fantastic Fest. Here with my roomie, Brandon. Brandon, why don't you say hello? Tell people your name, Twitter handle, anywhere you write for. And tell us about your Fantastic Fest experience so far.
Well, my name is Brandon Foley. I write for synapse.co. That's CINAPSE.co. You can find me on Twitter at the true Brendan F, because I am the one and only true Brendan F.
That's right. Yeah.
Maybe other Brandon Foley's, but I'm the true one.
That's right.
And Fantastic Fest has been, in a word, fantastic. That's really corny, but it's also really, really true. I've been wanting to come to Fantastic Fest for years now, and it's just been an unbelievable lineup of, the worst movie I've seen so far is good.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's just, it's great movie after great movie. Yesterday I saw Too Late, Anomalisa, Green Room, and The Witch. And any one of those would have made the whole trip worth it, because they're all just freaking fantastic. So to have all four of them in one day was exhausting, but also incredible. Yeah, so it's been great.
That's awesome. So from what I understand, this is your first Fantastic Fest, right?
Yeah.
What do you think so far?
Well, it's just been unbelievable. And even more so than the movies, it's just the whole atmosphere of film geeks and just art geeks and people who just love movies. You can go pretty much anywhere, have a conversation with anybody about what they've seen, and everyone's just happy to talk and share. Beyond the movies themselves, it's just the atmosphere and the whole feel of the festival has just been unbelievable. I can't imagine any other film festival that has this kind of depth and atmosphere to it.
Oh, totally. Now, a lot of our listeners probably haven't been here before.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to them for coming here? Like, what would you say to, from your experience so far, what are some things you would keep in mind for a first-timer attending here, like, for advice?
I would just say be open. You may not get your first choice for a slot, but there's got to be something else really, really interesting. And same thing with interacting with people, just be open to it. Like I said, you can go pretty much anywhere and talk to pretty much anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll find someone worth talking to and something worth sharing. And also, there's all the karaoke, and they have the drinking contest. So just come into it as... Don't presume that you have it all figured out or know exactly what you want to do, just because you need to be open to kind of writing it out and experiencing different stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and... So we have 2 days left, 2 full days left, including today. What are you looking forward to the rest of the festival?
Looking forward to? Well, I have Men and Chicken. It's not Men versus, it's Men and Chicken.
Men and Chicken.
Yes, I'm very excited for that, because I understand that Hannibal Lecter plays a chronic masturbator who may or may not have sex with a chicken. So I'm very, I don't know anything about it other than that Matt Mikkelsen's in it. But everyone I've heard say it's very, very fun, almost Python-esque.
It's hilarious.
Yes, so I'm very, very excited to see that today. I hope we see Bone Tomahawk tomorrow.
Okay, yeah.
Because I've heard that that movie is just next level crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for that. There's also The Boy and the Bear that I heard is that. So if I don't get a Bone Tomahawk, I want to see that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I saw it.
Is it?
First screening.
Awesome.
Loved it.
Yeah, I've heard that it's reduced many grown men to tears.
Oh, me too.
as an only slightly grown man, I don't know how I'll do with it, but I'm very excited for it.
Right on. Right on. Okay, well, we better wrap it up here, but any parting words before we go?
Come to Fantastic Fest, and you know, the cool thing about this Fantastic Fest, anyway, is that a lot of these movies, a lot of the best movies, you will be able to see. It's been frustrating for myself as a fan, because I'll hear about these awesome movies, and like those kind of vanish.
Yeah.
But you'll be able to see The Witch and The Green Room, and even Too Late. You won't be able to see it in 35mm, probably. But you'll be able to see it, and it's a great movie. Anomalisa, again, same deal. So if you can't come to Fantastic Fest, Fantastic Fest will come to you.
Right on. Cool. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Adrian from the Green Screen of Death here on Day 7, Fantastic Fest 2015 edition. Here with Evram, first-time programmer for Fantastic Fest. This is your first year, 2015. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience programming for Fantastic Fest and... anything you want to talk about in that respect?
Yeah, I mean, I got involved with Fantastic Fest last July because I met these guys in Cannes last year, so 2014 Cannes, and we worked together and we liked each other, so they extended an invitation for me to join, and then since last July I've been helping out. So I was a bit involved in 2014.
Oh, I see.
But this is my first full rodeo, if you see what I mean. So Program for Fantastic Fest is a great experience because the programmers are really great. Yeah. There's a great vibe. It's people who love movies trying to bring the best. So there's a lot of debate, there's a lot of back and forth, but it's all done in the right spirit and intelligently. And so it's been an absolute joy because I always felt I love movies. I live, eat, breathe movies. Everything for me is movies. And I go at 1,000 miles an hour talking about movies, and it's great to meet people who keep up, do the same thing, and you put together a show that you can be so proud of.
Oh yeah. Now, what are maybe a couple of films you want to talk about that you were looking forward to watching with an audience? Like, maybe when you first watched it, you're like, wow, I can't wait to see this with an audience.
Well, I just introduced Liza the Fox Fairy. That was one of them. And you know, after the first screening, the reaction was awesome. You know, people were online going, this is my favorite film of the festival.
Oh, nice.
But it's such a great energy film. Another one was February, because I wanted to see how the crowd would click with that film.
Yeah.
And that was great. Oh, you've divided people, but in a very intelligent way, mm-hmm. and I really liked that. And there's one more that I was going to say. Oh, Der Bunker, which won the Next Wave Best Film Award last night.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
And that film is so weird. I wanted to see exactly how the crowd would react to, you know, like talking gangrene leg wounds and a 30-year-old man parading as an 8-year-old child.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, those probably are the primaries that are off the top of my head.
Oh yeah, that's cool. What's the experience been like for you to be like? You guys are super busy all the way up until I'm sure the last minute of Fantastic Fest, and all the way through the week. How do you kind of stay grounded from start to through the festival?
Well, I think the best thing is just seeing the audience and seeing the people and like doing the intros, and then you get a feel for the place. So for me, the experience has been amazing because I thrive on how people react to the stuff we've done. That's my buzz. I love seeing audiences, how they react. I love people talking about it. Even if they hate something, I love debate. I think films should be shown because they should be talked about. They should be debated. You're not going to love everything. You're not going to hate everything. But I think it's important to raise conversation that there should be nothing left unsaid, is what I always think. And for me, the experience is about that.
Oh, totally. Have you gone to any of the events this year?
Yeah, I went to Ichio, which was fucking awesome.
Oh, it looked cool.
I mean, that was so good. And I went to, last night I saw Elijah Wood DJ Turkish music.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Turkish, so
for me
that was like my childhood, totally out of context in a really cool setting.
Oh, cool.
That was amazing. And, you know, I love all that. And I watched fantastic debates. They were great. And
you
know, there's a lot of good stuff happening outside of the theater as well.
Cool.
It's like a little bubble of happiness for 8 days.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Well, I think we're getting close to the end here. And I got to go grab my seat.
That's
so
fine.
Is there anything you want to... Where can people find you online? Do you have any... Do you write or blog or...
Well, I write for Electric Sheep Magazine. I write for Twitch. I Twitter Evrim Ersoy. My email is evrim.ersoy@fantasticfest.com. Anyone wants to talk to me, I'm always easy to find. You know, there isn't many mustachioed Turks doing the genre circuit, so just look for me.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks so much for doing this for us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for asking me to be a part of it.
Cool. All right.